Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Good Wednesday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live and we are out and about on 106.7 The Fan, out of our Navy Yard, Half Street Studios, and at City Tap House on 9th and I, right near Capital One Arena. And we will be here until 6:30 today, getting ready for a brand new campaign with Caps fans. 7:30 puck drop on a new season that commemorates tonight. The Capitals will be rocking the red, and so will about 20,000 of their biggest fans. They're taking on the Boston Bruins, and they're trying to get back to the postseason. And this time, Danny, go a little further than the second round. Year three of Spencer Carberry, they shocked everybody and made the playoffs in the rebuild in year one. Last year, stunned everybody by being one of the best teams in hockey circuit to circuit, got to round two, and they're thinking a little bigger, a little juicier in the postseason. They're going to get a little bit selfish, try to go on a run this year. It all starts tonight, City Tap House, for your cocktails, for your food before the game. Come party with us on Grant and Danny.
I love this place. It's just, as you said, a stone's throw from Cap One Arena, right around the corner, 9th and I Street. It is a fantastic location, parking across the way in a little, you know, open area situation, but easy walk coming off the metro, et cetera. Food is really good. Atmosphere, vibes, et cetera, always fun. They took great care of us last year, and today is no exception.
We've got some Caps flavor on the show, which will be nice. Pierre-Luc Dubois, going into year two with the club, is going to be on the program coming up at 2:45, a little over 40 minutes from right now. You'll hear from a guy who was one of the best two-way players in the National Hockey League last year as he gets ready for game number one, year number two in D.C. And our good buddy, former regular here on Greg and Dave, Nick Dowd, suddenly one of the longer tenured members of the team. Non-core division, you know, you take your O.V. Carlson, Tom Wilson Cup winners out of the equation. Nick Dowd, who got here the year after the Cup in 2019, has been here about as long as anybody else. Cannot wait to talk to him about the energy and the pizzazz in the arena tonight, what he's looking forward to as Washington commemorates a brand new campaign. So Pierre-Luc Dubois, 2:45, and Nick Dowd at 6 o'clock right here on The Fan today. But let's get after it. Let's do this thing. We say this all the time. There is no better atmosphere in D.C. sports than being indoors in that arena, chilly, dark, everybody rocking red. And we're finally back, and this is a good thing for the city. It's good for the neighborhood down here, all the restaurants and the bars. People have been waiting for games. Let's get after it.
Yeah, it's the best vibe. Then everyone knows what they're doing. Everyone knows the assignment, right? It is a fan base that's enthusiastic, a production staff, and everything that goes into that, but puts on a great game day experience. It's fun. It's still, you know, the best kind of, you know, day-to-day regular season gig in town. You know, football games are different. That's the, you know, you get 9 appointments or 10 appointments if you count preseason games, and it's one of those good years. But this is that night in, night out, you know, 2 to 3 times a week. When they're at home, you come to the arena 40-plus times if you're into that, and you sort of guaranteed a pretty darn good performance and a good atmosphere and a good show.
Alex Ovechkin back in the saddle for one more ride. Ovi, after breaking Wayne Gretzky's goal record last year, a chance now to surpass 900 goals in the very early going this season. He's sitting at 897 as Ovechkin gets ready for year 21 in the National Hockey League. For Ovi, who is 40, he just turned 40 years old on September 17th, and the ageless wonder, the Russian machine that doesn't break, will be on the top line tonight with budding star Alexei Protas and the center, who kind of stirs this drink offensively now, lefty Dylan Strome. I think the season's going to come down largely to, among other things, how the Caps' third line develops. That was their undoing to some extent, in addition to health on the back end where Marty Ferravari got hurt in the playoffs last year. But that third line, they could never figure it out. We'll talk to John Walton, the voice of the Capitals, about this when he joins us at 5 o'clock today on Grant and Danny. But they're going to start their first trio to get the nod is Anthony Bevilier, who was on the show yesterday. Podcast that wherever you get your audio if you want to go listen to that. He was on during the Blitz. Hendrix LaPierre, who's a young ascending player. They're going to have him centering the third line. But speaking of young ascending talents, Ryan Leonard, who's one of the premier young players on the planet, who is officially a rookie now in the NHL after getting his feet wet at the very, very end of last regular season. But if they can figure that out, whether it's those guys I just mentioned, if Sonny Milano ends up replacing somebody and they move Bevilier and Leonard around, it would lengthen this entire roster. You know the fourth line is going to be great. As long as you got Dowd and Duhaime, it doesn't really matter who's with them. And Justin Sortif, who's one of the few additions they made this offseason, is the guy on the fourth line now. But I think that is the key for me. Lines 1, 2, and 4, clockwork. You saw it last year. You know what they are. Can you get enough out of that third line to be 12 deep?
I don't disagree with any of that. I think that's a pretty good assessment. To me, you know, I kind of take my rudimentary understanding. I never played hockey. It was, you know, one of the only sports I kind of never really had access to, and that's all changed now in this area. Frankly, thanks to Alex Ovechkin. And the note I was going to add is he broke his leg last year. Alex Ovechkin broke his leg and still scored 44 goals as a 39-year-old. That's kind of my only point. It's so stupid. It's so impossible. It's so ridiculous that a 39-year-old scored 44 goals. Then you add in the next paragraph, the same year that he broke his leg. I told you this before. One of my best buddies was a college football player. He had the exact same injury. He missed his entire, basically senior season, was able to come back and do kickoff coverage in his final game. It's kind of like, there. You can kind of do that. I understand medicine's different, but this is a freak of nature. This is beyond a freak of nature. This is the freaks of nature look up at him and go, that's an Ovechkin. That's one of one in terms of that. So underestimated at your own peril in his year 40 season. But to me, the end of the year has always kind of looked, and I know last year was exceptional because of the goal chase and everything, and you know, that took so much energy and it was such a different, unique animal. But the last few years in the playoffs to me, when they've gone up against certain opponents, they have looked older and they've looked slower. Whether it's puck battles, whether it's keeping the puck in or getting the puck out of their own end, etc. The injection of some speed on a more regular basis to me is the most essential thing, and I'm hoping this year it happened.
I want to talk quickly about some Nats news before we get to the Commanders and the NFL, because there is a major sea change taking place, really starting officially today, in the Nats front office. Paul Toboni was hired as their new president of baseball operations. We're still trying to figure out how the structure is going to work in the front office. Will he keep Mike DiBartolo? Will he be named general manager? Will Toboni have a president and a GM title? Will they not have a GM at all? There's some semantics to work out here. But I'm told Mike DiBartolo is safe and that he will remain with the team. He's about it in terms of some of the high-ranking officials, it feels like. There is a massive overhaul taking place today with the Nationals. Some of the names that have trickled out via the Washington Post reporting and Andrew Golden. Mark Shalaba, who's a longtime assistant GM, has been with the team since 2006. Eddie Longos, who was their director of player development over the last couple of years, who's been with the team in a full-time capacity since 2011. And look, I know that fans want a sea change. They want a shift. They want a new paradigm. They want more analytics and R&D. The guys that they're letting go weren't necessarily not clamoring for those things. I think they probably wanted a lot of those things along the way too. But this team hasn't been good enough. And when you bring in a new Pobo, he's going to make a lot of changes, and he probably should. So some good people are going to lose jobs. I just want to say, you know, in a business about human beings, that there are a few better than Mark Shalaba, who I got to know over the years, one of the nicest dudes at Nats Park. You know Eddie Longos very well, like I do. You coached him at one point, I think.
That's right.
When he was a private school baseball player in D.C.
Baseball, basketball, had him for everything, yeah.
But these are really, really good people that have kind of made Nationals baseball not just their living but their life for many, many years and poured a lot into the organization. So there's going to be a ton of change. I know people are celebrating a new direction, but I did just want to point out some really, really good people having a really tough day over at Nationals Park. But it has begun. And Toboni, who's going to be on the show tomorrow, we're supposed to have him in studio with us in the Navy Yard from our first hour, like 2 to 2:45 or so. So we'll have a lot to ask him about these changes and the new direction. But he is certainly not wasting any time. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I think you said it very well. I certainly have empathy for individual people when it comes to it. I know, Eddie, you have a great history with him. And Mark Shalaba as well, who's been nothing but gracious and kind and you know, forthcoming. And I think he did a pretty good job. But this is the risk, right, when you're talking about a life in professional sports. That is not what you get into for, you know, lifetime appointments, right? It's not a Supreme Court justice. You know what I mean? Like, it is a temporary field, and when the results have not been there, regardless of whose fault it is, whether, you know, the fact that, I don't know, Luis Garcia didn't get to a ground ball on his backhand. Is that Mark Shalaba's fault that one time in game number 104? No. But that's just sort of how this goes, where you're going to have a new person overseeing everything to try to change the direction of the organization. And, you know, things like this are certainly inevitable. So feel for those guys, but again, at the same time, understand it and understand fans clamoring for it, right? I mean, when I watch something that's not satisfactory, I demand change. I want something to be different, and here that is.
Yeah, it's a results-oriented business. So, you know, it almost does not matter, like, who did what or how they did it. When a change is made at the very top, someone like Toboni, who has a background in both R&D analytics and scouting, is going to want to bring in his own departments in both capacities. That makes it hard to keep a lot of people around. And you went this direction for a reason. So you got to give him a chance to reshape this thing in his own image. That's only reasonable and fair, and it should be the expectation. But
you don't force a bunch of holdovers to make him inherit. I mean, that's just not how it would go.
But we'll talk to Toboni about this when he's on the show tomorrow. We've got a big few days on the show. So, of course, the Caps kicking off their season, as we mentioned today. So we're at City Tap House all day with listeners, 2 to 6:30. As you get out of the office, happy hour, dinner before the game, come on out. Tomorrow, Toboni's in studio with us at 2 o'clock for the better part of an hour. And then Friday, we've got a field trip Friday. We're out in Reston again at Char Bar at the JW Marriott, that brand-new Marriott out there.
Gorgeous.
In Reston with a beautiful bar and great food. So if you want to do a Football Friday field trip with us, that's where we'll be on Friday out in Reston. Speaking of the Commanders in football, Danny, this was an interesting injury update today. On Monday, Dan Quinn made it seem like, while all systems aren't go yet, Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown will be back for Washington on the field this weekend, Monday night, as they host the Bears. Today, Noah Brown was at practice. Terry McLaurin was not. We're not far enough along in the week for me to be nervous about that. This is what is basically a normal, almost Tuesday practice. They don't even have those because they're normally off.
Yeah, today's Wednesday, it's a Tuesday.
But tomorrow is the day where I think you should pay close attention. Because while it's a Monday and you have a little extra time, if on Thursday, 3 days after Quinn, who's normally not that optimistic publicly that early in the week, made it seem like McLaurin and Brown could be back for the Monday Night Football game, and then still on Thursday there's still no Terry on the field, that would be an antenna going up moment. Would give me pause about, on the rundown today I put, McLaurin's back on Monday. Like there's some conviction, it feels like, that they could get both of these receivers back. But right now, pretty obviously, Noah Brown, really good chance to go. Terry McLaurin, not practicing less, but still a good chance to go, hopefully, based on what Quinn is saying.
Yeah, no one will be surprised at how I approach it when it comes to injuries and a group that's not usually that forthcoming. My concern radar went up when I saw that he wasn't practicing today. Not even if he was limited off to the side, I go, yeah, that's your normal return to play metric that Dan Quinn loves to talk about, and he was jogging or doing some sort of rope ladder or whatever. I'm concerned about it because, remember, what was the backdrop? This isn't just, hey, he pulled his quad. He went to multiple experts, got multiple opinions. This was a longer saga than we thought, and now we're going to, you know, borderline potentially on a third week without his services, or at least a guy that may not be quite himself trying to come back. So this is one of those where my concern level will be at a default higher than everyone else's until everything's normal again, and it's not normal yet.
I do feel like now is the time to buy stock in this offense if you're going to, because we've already seen their run game is brilliant. This is the best running game that they have had in a long time. I would go back to maybe the 2012 Griffin-Alfred Morris year where Alf went for 1,600 and Griffin was breaking records as a rookie quarterback, as a dual threat. But it's not just the QB run game for them. It's also what you're getting out of Bill. When you give it to Chris Rodriguez, who had a 48-yard carry a couple weeks ago. When you give it to Jeremy McNichols, who had a 40-yard touchdown run. I guess it was a 60-yard touchdown run or whatever that play was a couple of weeks ago. They've all hit home runs. They've all been very effective. It's bigger than just the backs. Bill, who's leading the NFL in yards per attempt, we had on the show on, you know, going back yesterday to 5 p.m., he's great. And he looks like the real deal. I think he's their most talented back with the ball in his hand since Clinton Portis. But I think it is larger than that. It's their offensive front, their design, what Cliff Kingsbury has drawn up on Wednesday and Thursday. They're kicking people's butts. Ben Johnson talked about this already, the Bears head coach, saying there's a reason they've been mauling people for 2 years. He's like, I watched what they did. I'm blown away by their run design. I think it's a great stew that they've cooked. Design, blocking. Chris Paul's been great since they inserted him at guard. Running backs are more talented and explosive than they've had. The result is they can roll. Now you get Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown back. Now you've got Daniels as the point guard, the year he just had last year being borderline historical. There's a chance this offense, which is already top 10, hasn't even scratched the surface on what it could look like in 4 or 6 weeks.
I co-sign that. I mean, to me, my thesis was, and I think it's largely proven out this way, although not exactly, you know, the injuries happened kind of more in bunches than I thought early on. But I thought because they didn't have any time on the grass, because it was sort of Club Dan in terms of the training camp and the joint practice that got canceled with the Ravens and, you know, all the walking wounded and the limited number of times that they were actually on the grass together as an offense, I thought you might see them be sluggish out of the gate. You got to go through that to get to where you want to go. Well, I think they've had their sluggish time. I mean, Jaden Daniels now, really the last 2.5 quarters of this past game looked like Jaden Daniels, superstar, cape-wearing, Superman, fix all the problems, let's get going. And that's kind of what I was waiting on. Now you start to hopefully add some of these weapons back. I don't know what you defend. I don't know how you decide to stop it. He, to me, is the center of this run game because the threat is so profound of he keeps it that time and holds everybody in place flat-footed, and run games get stopped by defenders being able to anticipate, being able to kind of knife through, beat blockers to spots, etc. It's much harder to do that when you don't know where the ball's going.
Which is true, but when he didn't play for 2 games, they didn't miss a beat on the ground either, and they still gashed teams with their running backs.
They definitely
did. Now, Mariota has some of that same ability and some of that same element, right, where you're talking about the dual threat and, you know, you got to account for him as a read option guy. But I just think Daniels is a exclamation point, and I do think he adds to the equation, but this is bigger than him. I mean, by the way, with Daniels missing 40% of their games to this point and not having really been at his 2024 standard until maybe the last couple of quarters, so that's 2 out of 20 that they've played, whatever percent that is, they're still the number 7 offense in the NFL right now. They're still the number 1 rushing offense in the NFL right now, number 17 throwing the football. So that's where I talk about buying low. I think a huge factor there has been Deebo Samuel. Whatever people thought they were getting when they acquired him, he has surpassed that.
It's been better.
They're actually doing a better job targeting him, higher percentage, using him as a receiver in the slot way more often, down the field, his air yards on targets, all better than his time in San Francisco. Now, it's a little bit different because San Fran had him run the ball more. They had him catch a lot more stuff around the line of scrimmage on screens. I thought that's what it would be here. It's a lot of that at training camp was what we saw. Maybe it's the McLaurin injury, and so we don't really have a good feel yet for exactly how he'll be used as the year goes on. But pushing him down the field, getting him in the slot, using him basically as more of a traditional wide receiver, they have done that more often than Kyle Shanahan was doing in San Fran.
They have. And I don't want to say I'm surprised by that necessarily, because there were other options there in San Fran, assuming health, which most of the time guys weren't healthy. But there was, you know, there's Ayuk and Pearsall and Kittle. And I mean, you're basically having Deebo Samuel act as the tight end sometimes, the slot receiver sometimes, outside receiver other times, a third down back other times. It's been wonderful. I mean, and when you give a really good offensive mind, like Cliff Kingsbury, that kind of weapon and toy, thank goodness he's not doing the, you know, this is the best analogy I can come up with. Remember when Matt Williams was like, he's the closer. He closes the game. Well, there's other high leverage situations. He's the closer. Cliff Kingsbury's not doing that with Deebo Samuel. He understands what he has, and he's utilizing him properly. It's been wonderful.
Are we allowed to use the word activations still, even though Jason Wright is no longer team president?
Yeah, it's a way to make fun of that era. Okay. I think that's fun.
The Commanders are planning some pretty cool activations for their Monday Night Football home game with the Chicago Bears. I want to get into those next. Plus, Zach Ertz was catchless this past weekend in L.A. You won't believe when the last time Zach Ertz played in a game and didn't catch a football was. We'll get to that next. We are live at City Tap House We are right near Capital One Arena where the Caps open their season tonight against the Bruins at 7:30. We're going to be here until 6:30. They've got all kinds of delicious food, drink specials. Come on out and hang with us live on The Fan.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
The Grant and Danny radio program comes your way live today from City Tap House on 9th and I Streets in Penn Quarter in the D.C. Capital One Arena neighborhood. So if you're going to the Caps game as they open the year against the Bruins at 7:30, this is your pregame spot. We're hanging out until 6:30 live on The Fan 4 hours from right now. You can listen to us all over the DMV on 106.7, the flagship. Of course, you can watch us on YouTube, on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. And you can take us with you wherever you go with the always free and available Odyssey app, wherever you are. Wanted to talk Zach Ertz for a moment. If you go back to the beginning of last season, Danny, over the first month, Zach Ertz was pretty quiet. In fact, to this point in the year, he did not have a touchdown last year. He's got two this year. His yards per reception are actually up to 10.6. He's done a couple of things after the catch this year.
Yeah, that Green Bay game where he was, you know, that caught the ball to Ryan, what, like the 14, 15, made a guy miss, little shimmy, little shake, little Chris Cooley stanky leg, get in the end zone.
So I don't watch him and say he looks different than last year, worse than last year. Based on his age at 34, everyone's going to wonder when he gets quiet with production. You start to wonder, is he washed or is it happening? I don't see that at all. But over the last 2 weeks, he has just two catches for 21 yards. This past week, one target, it was a bad ball from Jaden that was a little high and hot right before halftime when Ertz was actually open. And I can think of some other plays where Mariota missed him in Atlanta when he ran a great route and got open on a third down. So there's been just some failure to connect, so to speak. But no catches this past week. I could not believe this stat when I saw it. That was the first time he has played in a game and not caught a ball since 2014.
That's pretty wild.
This dude's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is a gold jacket guy. I mean, that's like Art Monkey-ian. You know what I mean? Just in terms of like the consistency of getting the football when,
that was
when he
his
plays.
Sophomore year before he became a star. And right. The next year he caught like 70 balls. So ever since he's become a tight end one and a guy drafted early in fantasy drafts, he has not gone a single game without a catch until last week.
I believe it. I mean, he is so good. And even, you know, before he lost a couple miles an hour on his fastball in terms of explosion and sprint speed and you know, being quick, he's always had that box out gene. He's always had that I'm going to get open in a confined space quarterback's best friend, which is such an awesome thing, right? That's what's so key and pivotal. And that surprises me, honestly, this past game that he didn't have any catches.
So my perception on what's happening is I think Debo's usage
I think that's it.
Is cutting into Zach Ertz's production. And on Take Command with Logan Paulson, a former tight end who studies the position really, really closely, watches all the tape, I asked him about this. Is it a Debo thing? Does he see any less explosiveness or difference in twitch or anything early this season? Here's what Logan Paulson said on a new episode of Take Command that'll be dropping later tonight.
I think when you look at this last game, I think that's a credit to Derwin James more than anything, man. That dude's an absolute stud. Like, his ability to cover slot receivers and cover Zach, like, Zach's really skilled, really savvy, really nuanced, but Zach wins, like, if you go back to the Green Bay game, he wins with a certain amount of physicality and size advantage in addition to his route stems and kind of like the vet, you know, old man YMCA basketball stuff. But Derwin James was like, cool, like, I'm big and strong and I'm really fast, and like, you might get open, but it's going to be late in the down. And I think it's a testament to maybe one of the better coverage safeties in the NFL in Derwin James, as opposed to a criticism of Zach. So I think Zach's in a good spot. I think there's going to be games where he's really productive, like he was last year. And I do think the other thing that's not showing up in those statistics is all the pass interference calls that he's drawn over the first couple weeks of the season. So I think Zach's fine. I think he's still going to be a feature of the offense. I think I'm glad you brought up the Debo thing. One of the things I have noticed is they are using Debo in terms of route allocation based on concept. Debo's getting more of the Zach Ertz kind of route tree, which makes sense because he's an explosive playmaker. So I think that's probably, you know, cannibalizing some of the touches for Zach there. But I'm not worried about Zach at all. I think he looks great. Had a couple nice blocks in this game, which is awesome for him against LA. So I think, you know, there's going to be games where he's going to be hyper productive and be the guy that he was, or he can be, versus man coverage when the matchup dictates.
There's some 7 for 65 and a touchdown games coming. I do think that when the offense allows them to get to him and he's open in the middle of the field, they're going to find him. By the way, the numbers are very similar right now to a year ago. Through the first five games of the 2025 season, Ertz has 14 catches for 149 yards and 2 touchdowns on 21 targets. Last year, he had 17 catches for 160 without a touchdown on 24 targets. So you're talking about 3 fewer targets, 3 fewer catches, 11 fewer yards, and 2 more touchdowns. So it's kind of a wash. His yards per catch this year from last year at this time, 9.4 to 10.6. So he's been more efficient. His catch percentage on targets has dipped slightly from about 71% to 67%.
But still, you know, statistically negligible, but not like an overreaction type
Correct.
Thing. When he had 3 games last year with less than 12 yards. 3 games last year, he went 1 for 5, he went 2 for 10, 1 catch for 12 against Philadelphia. So I just think he had that now. I mean, early on this year, you saw what he was capable of, right? When he's now a little bit of a focal point, right? He had 6 for 64 against Green Bay. He was their best offense. Nobody else really did much of anything in that game. But I think, A, it's more options. B, you know, part of that is, you know, maybe a comfort level with Mariota and he when Daniels wasn't playing. Or, you know, you got to give some credit to defenses as well, knowing that maybe where the safety blanket is. The only time I get annoyed or concerned about a lack of touches for guys, we talked about this a million times, is if the offense is unproductive and the guys that are dependable playmaking helpers are not getting the chance to do so, I'd rather have Debo Samuel have the ball than Zach Ertz, respectfully. I mean, Zach Ertz is good. I know exactly what he is. But if I've got a choice between the two, it's obviously, you know, this is a false choice. But if I've got a pick between the two, I'll target Debo Samuel every time.
Well, of course you will. And that's not why I bring it up, to be clear. I'm not suggesting that he needs the ball more or this is a problem. I think that all offseason we had a reoccurring conversation on Bobby Wagner and how he runs in space, and is that going to be an issue? About Zach Ertz, and hey, you're re-signing these guys. You did these one-year deals. Now you're doing these multi-year deals to keep them around. You're worried about them hitting the wall a little bit, right? This is not an Alex Ovechkin situation where they're going to be scoring 40
where he
goals
is the wall
at 40 years old. And so I'm just taking inventory. He did something this weekend, or in this case didn't do something, that he hasn't done since 2014. But I don't think the reaction should be that he's slowing down. I actually think it has nothing to do with that, or very little to do with that, and more to do with the fact that Debo's here, the fact that how they're using him is going to take away from Ertz, and lastly, and maybe most importantly, they're getting it in different ways. They haven't needed that to the same extent necessarily. We do have Pierre-Luc Dubois of the Capitals coming up in less than 10 minutes right here on Grant and Danny, so make sure you're listening if you're getting ready for Caps hockey on day one against the Bruins. That'll be a good conversation. I mentioned this, though. I want to tee this up for a moment. So Monday Night Football at home against the Bears. You know the Commanders are wearing their black jerseys. This is the only time this season they will wear their black uniforms.
Good.
And the reason is just a troll job of the Bears, I would think. Because last year in the 425 window national TV game, Caleb versus Jaden, Williams versus Daniels, 1-2, Washington broke them. The Commanders ended their season, got people fired. It was all over for the Bears after the Hail Mary in those black uniforms.
Yep.
It feels like it's not a coincidence to me, Danny, they're going back for this game in that uniform.
I hadn't thought of that. Seriously? Not at all. I thought this is like the one prime time, and they're going to do the stupid ult that has no connection to any of the tradition in the past that they're clearly trying to phase out, but still acknowledging the young people like Ryan Clary's age and younger that love these kinds of jerseys and buy them.
You had 16 other chances to do that. You're doing it in the game against the team where you wore that,
yeah.
And there was a Hail Mary. I mean, that play
it's
made it almost impossible to get rid of the black uniforms, even if they want to.
That's a fair point. I literally hadn't even thought of that as a connection, but it clearly makes sense. Probably didn't reflect well on me that I didn't think about that. But, I mean, to me, this feels like just kind of listen to you talk about it. This does feel very purposeful, right? They're doing a big primetime thing. And kudos to them. Again, I hate those jerseys. It's an Arizona State alternate or like a weird Pittsburgh thing. They have no connection to anything that I want or like, but they are doing some cool stuff with it, which I like.
So I want to get into that. So they're calling this Monday night primetime fan evening Conquer the Night. So what they put out to people, as the sun goes down, the action heats up. Our arena awaits a primetime battle against the Bears on Monday night at 8:15. Join our mission to conquer the night and be part of our home field advantage. They are asking people to wear black for a blackout, basically. Arrive early, wear black. Our guys are wearing their black uniforms, and we want you to match the look. Arrive early to get your Pix Mobe light-up wristbands and be part of our pregame light show made specifically for conquering the night. They're doing the bit that I've always begged that we could do, that we couldn't until a year ago when we got the special LED lights. We're the last teams, I think, without those lights at the stadium because they cost money and you have to care about your team and your product.
Money, yeah.
But remember when we were in Cincinnati?
Oh, my God.
Right before the game.
It was incredible.
Monday Night Football last September. They do this light show where everyone's got these wristband things on that change colors. You hold them up and you're a part of the event, basically. And that was actually right before you look over at me because everyone's going nuts and you said, we're about to get mud stomped.
About to get mud stomped.
It didn't happen that way.
No, it did. I mean, but the second play from scrimmage, it was Jamar Chase long touchdown. I'm going, oh, my God, we are in for it tonight.
It felt like it was going to be a long night, and then Jaden Daniels made sure that didn't happen.
Yeah, he was just fun.
But I think they're going to do something pretty cool here.
I'm all about that.
They're going to do a light show at night. They're going to have people wearing these light-up wristband, part of the show in the crowd, different colors flashing. I think it's going to be really, really cool looking at Northwest Stadium.
I love that. Again, there's only so much you can do there, but do the thing you can do, right? I mean, you can't make it an awesome stadium. You can make it less terrible, and they're trying to do that. I give them credit. Yeah, I mean, I see enough of these things at colleges. I see enough of these things at, people that have a fraction of the tradition that we do here in Washington. So it's cool to be able to participate at the highest levels of stuff like that.
5 days out, Monday Night Football, Bears coming to town, Washington with a great chance taking on the worst statistical defense in football to get to 5-2. Next, Pierre-Luc Dubois of the Washington Capitals getting ready for his first game of his second season with the team. You will hear from him on The Fan in moments.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
This is Washington Capitals defenseman John Carlson, and you're listening to the show that talks more Caps than anybody, Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan.
Double our pleasure. We'll talk Nats and Caps. Don't you worry about that. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back. We are at 9th and I Streets near Capital One Arena. You can hit a golf ball and smack the side of the arena from where we are. If you got a good swing, I would say, Danny. You need to get a hold of it.
I mean, you got to hit it straight. Get a little of that. It's got to be on one of those where it's like a rolling hill, like a links course, where it goes crests over the hill but bounces in such a way that you get a great big bounce on it. So all of a sudden, it's like you get an extra 60, 70, 80 yards of distance.
We're going to be here till 6:30. Puck drop tonight at 7:30 for game one of a brand-new campaign. Pierre-Luc Dubois, the 27-year-old Cap, who came over with some baggage. Everybody seemed to think, oh, this isn't a great locker room guy. They will wonder how this will be as a fit. Well, he had an amazing season, a career high in points, 20-plus goals for the Capitals last year, and he's getting ready for his second season with the team. Recently caught up with him out at MedStar Iceplex ahead of a practice to talk about a brand-new campaign.
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think the first of all, coaching staff, management, everybody, my first conversations with them, obviously when I got traded here was with them, and I felt at home. And then meeting the players at training camp, getting to know them on and off the ice, they made me feel at home. And then playing here in front of our fans, it was really the perfect mix of all three of those things coming together. And that just allows me to go out there on the ice and have fun and do my job.
There's a long history and a culture here of guys coming in from outside and like elevating their game. Think of yourself or Stromer, and it goes back many, many years. What you just said may have been maybe a part of that, but give me more information on like why it is that in some places in sports, players come in and elevate. Other places, it's harder to get more out of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think every environment is different and every situation is different. And, I think that here last year, talking to the coaching staff and management, like I said, I think that they knew what kind of player I was and what I could do. No player is perfect. Every player has strengths and weaknesses. And I thought, that they were on the same page for what I could do well and what I could help with this team. And, they allowed me to do my job. They allowed me to come in and play to my strengths and put me in positions to play to my strengths, put me with players. And, I think that helps a lot. And you look at a guy like Stromer, it's the same thing. Guys like Chick, the list goes on and on, like you said. So, every environment's different. But when you're in an environment that you feel good in and you feel like you can be your best version of yourself at, then, it really makes your life a lot easier.
Last year, really, from the start, you got off to a great start here, and I think kind of everybody right away said, whoa, this is going to work. But early on, I remember you finished with the 20 goals. It seemed like even though you were doing everything right, like you're a little snake bitten. When that's happening in hockey, where it just feels like you're in one of those stretches where you're getting the assists, you're right there, but it's not working out, how do you punch through that mentally? And is that something that comes over time as a veteran, or is that always just naturally something you have?
I think it's a mix of both. I think the not to stress or not to change anything part comes with time and just experience. I've always thought that there's a lot of ways you could help your team win, and scoring goals is one of them, getting assists, points is one of them, but you could also do a lot of things that just don't show up on the stat line at the end of the game. Good body positioning, winning your faceoffs, having a good stick, playing well defensively, being a good, like all those things don't really show up. But if you do all those things, your line can play well. You know, your wingers can benefit from it. The defensemen can benefit. Maybe they're scoring goals because you have a good F3 and you're attracting somebody. So you do all these things. And obviously, if I'm not scoring and I'm trying, I'm trying my best to score. It's not like I'm not trying. Right. That's just how it is sometimes. And, you know, you shoot the puck and it's a quarter inch too high and it hits the post instead of going in. And those are little things that you can, in a way, control, but in another way, you can't get frustrated with. So, you know, my game, I just try to help the team win in any way I can. And sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're not. But in the times you're not, you just still have to find a way to help the team.
You particularly in your line was so good defensively. I mean, one of the best in the National Hockey League, and you could, like, a shutdown line against an elite trio. That's obviously something you can be prideful in, but is that something that years ago was also something that you cared as much about, or was that something last year where they challenged you, or has that always been Pierre-Luc Dubois?
I've always liked doing that. And like I said, in different environments, you know, sometimes you can be in a chair that you're familiar in, and sometimes you can be in an environment that you're not. And I always thought that was something I could do and something I like to do. But really, when I got here and with Cars, the first message was that's kind of what I'm expecting from you. And it's a challenge. It's hard every night. You know, you're going against the best players. And you can't just defend. You know, you have to also bring something on the other side. So it's really tough, but it's a really fun challenge to have. And like I said, it's always something I thought that'd be fun to do, and to finally be able to go out there and do it every night was really fun.
It's one of my favorite things to talk to baseball guys about, because it's such a numbers sport. It's like stats they care about and don't, because everyone looks at certain stats. Like for a relief pitcher, they look at their ERA and they're like, that's a terrible stat. Mm-hmm. I don't care about that as a relief pitcher. For you, like when I was a kid, plus minus was a big deal. You had a great plus 27 last year. But like now I'm older and I'm like, yeah, that's more of a team stat. Like, mm-hmm. What do you care about or not care about numbers wise? That's more controllable for you, that lets you know how you're playing.
Yeah, honestly, I think stats are important. And I like looking at stats, but in a way I don't like looking at stats, because I want to concentrate on the big picture part of it. You know, I feel like when I go home on a drive home after a game, I could have 0 points and feel really good about my game if we won. And sometimes I'll drive home after a game, I had one goal, one assist, and I come home thinking I did not play well tonight. You know, for me and our line, I think for me the most fun is obviously winning, but individually the most fun is knowing that you contributed and you helped the team win. And like I said, whether some nights it could be offensive, in a 1-0 game, we only score one goal, or a 2-1 game, where you only score two, you might not have scored or had an assist. But if you shut down their line, you know, you got scoring chances, you got the momentum shifts on big shifts after goals, after, you know, penalty, after a power play. All those little things lead to the big picture of, okay, you know, I played well tonight. So stats, I think, are really important. But for me, it's just like the big picture of really just helping the team.
Are you into any of the data stuff, like puck possession and all that? Do you care about
that? Yeah,
you look at all that?
Yeah, I mean.
Do they present that to you guys, or do you do your own research, or how does that work?
To be honest, like, I like that stuff. I'm never really exposed to it, so I can't really see it. You know, every once in a while, my dad or a friend will send me like a stat that's pretty cool. You always want to know the
get
ones
in
that
the group chat.
Yeah, you always want to know the stats that make you look good. You don't want to look at the ones that make you look bad. But you know, it's just sometimes
they know which ones not to send you.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important. It's just, you know, sometimes it's also important to disconnect and get away from that.
How do you guys build on last year? You blew the expectations out of the water and you get to the second round. How do you make sure you're even better this year?
I think it's just a little bit of what we did last year. You know, if you set yourself a ceiling of this I'm trying to reach, then you're going to stall it at some point. You know, I thought last year we had a really good season. Obviously, we didn't win the cup, but if we're going to judge on if we won or not, then for me personally, I don't think that's the way to do it. I think you got to look at, did I take a step forward? You know, did we take a step in the right direction? I thought we did last year. So for us this year, it's just take another step. Can our worst games, you know, instead of last year, let's say they're a 6 out of 10, can our worst games this year be a 7 out of 10? You know, can we, if last year we had 25, I think, comeback wins, can we cut that down to 10 this year because we're not, you know, trailing going into the third? All those little things that I think will mean that we took a step in the right direction. And once the playoffs, or once the end of the season playoff push starts, you know, we're looking at it as we've been here before, and we can just keep working and not maybe uncharted territory.
Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a great season.
Thank you.
Pierre-Luc Dubois of the Capitals as they get ready to open their season against the Boston Bruins. Puck drop tonight at 7:30, just a couple blocks away at Capital One Arena. Remember, we are out here at City Tap House, 9th and I Streets, until 6:30. So come on by and say hello. Next, Terry McLaurin not practicing today. Sounds like there's still optimism he'll be on the field on Monday night. If he does come back, how much would that change Washington's offense, and what would you tinker with to make sure he's heavily involved? You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.